there. So this episode is one that aired on my regular podcast, but it has a lot of good tips in it, and I'm putting it in here just so that you have easy access to it and you don't have to hunt around for it. So yes, it is available on my regular podcast, but here it is for easy access on how to slow down your brain before bed. Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully, and in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. Before we jump into this episode, let's read our review of the week. It's from Striving to Be Spiritual, 5 stars, called So Needed. This podcast is so needed and will help so many mamas out there. Such great tips for ADHD mothers. Why, thank you, Striving. I so appreciate your encouragement. And mama, if you have not done a review or rated the podcast on your app, please go in and do that, because that helps this podcast be heard by more and more mamas out there. That's what we're trying to do. Spread the good word. Let's jump into this week's episode. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. Well, today we are talking about sleep. Sleep has always been a really rough thing for me. I have borderline narcolepsy. I did a sleep study when I was in college because I was struggling so much. And at the time, granted, this was a long time ago, to have an official diagnosis of narcolepsy, you had to have 6 of the 9 symptoms. Well, I have 5. So apparently not good enough to actually have it, but yet more than half. So I don't understand how that doesn't count. But hey, I'm not in charge. I don't write the rules. But let's just say sleep is a struggle bus for me for most of my life. And while I know that I could literally go on and on about good ideas about sleep, I want to give you some really tangible, actionable items that have been working really well for me, because in the last month, so in March, our theme for March and Successful Mama Meetups was listening to yourself and your body, which generally speaking, when you have ADHD, we don't do very well. I will not get on my soapbox right now about drama and everyone telling you that you perceive things wrong. And also we just are, with so many things grab our attention. We a lot of times just don't notice what's going on with our bodies. If you have not gone and listened to the episode at the beginning of March with Elizabeth Brink and Anna Lopez, go back to that one because it was a good one. We talked about learning how to listen to your body in terms of like starting to read those little clues. Things like, hey, when am I thirsty? How am I feeling? Just cluing into your body. So while we've been talking all about listening to your body this month, on one of the weeks, I asked the moms to share some of their tips on basic necessities of life that as moms are hard for us. So things like nourishment, drinking water, movement, sleep, these basic functions of life that we need to do like, in order to be a functional human that are very difficult as moms. And while overall the group had a ton of good ideas about moving and nourishment, when we were bringing up sleep, pretty much everybody was just kind of looking at each other like, I don't know, you got any ideas? I don't know, you got any ideas? And across the board, clearly sleep is hard for moms. When you're in that baby stage or toddler stage, like you're just trying to survive. And I'd always remind myself, like, this is a reason that sleep deprivation is used as a torture mechanism, because it is that hard on your body. You are not imagining it. It is very difficult. If you are in that stage, please do not feel like you need to implement 400 ideas. Like, do what works for you. If you want to try an idea, fine. But like, do not put pressure on yourself to come up with some brilliant idea here. Sometimes you're in that phase of like, I just need to survive. That is okay. What I see in a lot of moms is that when we get past that toddler stage and we get into, you know, kids who are actually sleeping slightly more, which is not always true after you get past the toddler stage, but you get to this point where like, okay, I actually can sleep more hours consecutively, and it's almost like your body is so used to getting up all the time that you are then having trouble sleeping because your body's just like, whoop, this is what we do. We get up in the middle of the night and you're like, why? So know that, yes, this is hard. I don't want you to feel guilty. I'm going to offer what I can. And keep in mind, like, my youngest is 5, so I am well past the baby stage. And at this point, the thing keeping me up at night is me. So given that this is such a big struggle with moms across the board, I'm going to share a little bit about what's working for me right now. Okay, first, I am using the focus mode on my phone at bedtime. It is meant to be like a work, like, option on your phone of like, I am trying to work hard right now and I want to be focused and I don't want to be distracted by my phone. Instead, I turn it on at 8:15 p.m. and it goes all the way until 6 a.m. So that means that like if I want to override and like look at Instagram, it's going to tell me like, hey, your focus mode is on. Are you sure you want to use it for 5 minutes? And then I got to think about it like, oh, okay. If I say 5 minutes, cool. But then every 5 minutes, actually it takes 4 minutes. At 4 minutes, it turns the screen black and white, which is I find extremely annoying. And you have to tell it like, okay, cancel that. Don't do it. So yes, you can basically like quote unquote snooze the thing, but it is irritating to me and I will exit out of it faster than I would if I just started on it. There are apps you can download that will like literally not let you override it. That is an option too. But I have found that like it turns off basically everything that's not essential so that I'm not getting notifications for anything. And just as a side note, like I actually don't have very many notifications turned on my phone in the first place. Like I don't get any social media notifications. Like unless I go in there, I don't know who messaged me. Second thing I do is brain dump all my thoughts before bedtime. So like on work days, I try to brain dump all my stuff before I wrap up work. I'll do it as part of my evening routine, but I don't brain dump as my like bedtime routine because at that point, like I'm trying to slow my brain down, not think of all the things that I have to do. So brain dumping earlier in the day so that I'm not brain dumping when I'm trying to sleep. You can do that if you really are just like too many thoughts in your head. You can brain dump then. But I just listened to, it was a friend who was saying like, it was my neuroplasticity teacher. She was saying that like, she's like, I wonder if people are just training their brains to think of all the things right before bed. And then your brain thinks like, this is the time we do this. It is not. I don't want to train my brain to do that. So I don't want to brain dump anything if I don't have to. So I'm just going to brain dump earlier. So not brain dumping in the bedtime routine, I'm brain dumping earlier. Get it all out of my brain so it's not swirling around. Because why does this happen? You lay down to go to sleep, nothing else is going on. And this is the white space that your brain is like, oh, let me tell you about this. Let me remind you about this. Because it's the first time you have slowed down all day and your brain finally gets to tell you lots of good stuff. This is why I'm a proponent of white space during the day. It's why I teach it in my classes, is you need those little spaces during the day for your brain to have white space so that you can let your brain do all of its magical thinking. Because if you are so busy during the day that you don't ever have that time, your brain is going to come tell you at some point all the things it wants to let you know. And I don't want it to be when I'm trying to go to sleep. Okay, anyway, tangent. All right, back on track. Next step. One of the big things that I worked on with my ADHD coach was knowing like I did enough during the day so that in the evenings, I don't need to be doing more projects. So I had this belief that I didn't realize I had about how like I wasn't doing a good enough job and I didn't get enough stuff done during the day. So what did I do? After bedtime, I needed to do this project or that project. And I have had to change, like evenings are not my time to do projects. This makes me very sad because I am a night owl. I would much rather do stuff from like 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. and sleep in later. But I got kids in elementary school and that's not an option for me. So very sadly, I had to change that schedule of my life. And right now, after bedtime is not time for projects, which here we are. I have rewritten my brain with my neuroplasticity to know like whatever I did during the day was enough. It was good enough. I don't have to do more stuff after bed. It's okay. Is not like the number of projects I completed on my to-do list is not determining my value. It's fine. Now, this does not mean that I don't do anything at all after my kids get in bed. Sometimes I still have like a couple of things to clean up in the kitchen or like, oh, right, I forgot to pack that lunch for that field trip or whatever it was. But generally speaking, most of my stuff I have planned during the day so that once I get my kids in bed, I don't have a bunch of things that need to get accomplished. Now, hear me real loud and clear. I am not consistent on this. Remember, I am about persistence, so I am getting better and better at this. I would say there's still probably like 2 nights a week where I end up doing stuff after the kids go to bed. And I look at like more often than not, did I go to bed at an earlier time? And earlier is subjective, depending on who you are. At an earlier time, more often than not. When I didn't, I'm like, ooh, I can feel that. My body's like, Patricia, we are trying to heal and get healthy. Would you please go to sleep? That is the time where I am healing, and that is a high priority for me. When I'm consistently not going to bed at a time which allows me to get the amount of sleep that I would like to get, I feel that. And I can clearly identify that that is a link to how I feel and how clear my brain is and how, like, on the days where I don't get enough sleep, I'm definitely way more fuzzy. It's harder to get going. I'm dragging. I'm more impatient and overwhelmed and frustrated. So through that self-discovery process, I've realized that the going to sleep earlier matters more than getting things done. So I can clearly say that spending time working through like that belief of like I'm not doing enough, I'm not good enough because I didn't get enough things done has really helped me and allowed me to go to bed earlier, which I never could have told you beforehand that that was connected. But it was for me. Maybe it is for you too. Maybe it's not. The next thing I'm doing is that I changed up my bedtime routine, and I haven't figured out a surefire way to make this happen, so it is still a bit of a mystery to me. Not a mystery, just a work in progress. Can it be a work in progress? It's a work in progress. One thing that I've found that really helps me go to bed earlier is when I get ready earlier. Now, I'm like, I think I've talked about this before. I wonder, have I? It's a good question. Like for my kids getting ready, like we do their bath time before dinner. Because when they get out of the shower or the bath, I swear it's like you just poured sugar water on them and they're high energy after bath time and shower time. So we do that before dinner whenever we don't have something going on in the evenings. And that helps us like have just a way smoother bedtime transition because, yes, they do eat dinner in their pajamas, but like then after that, it's like they can relax and have some like downtime before bed. And then we're only doing like go potty, brush teeth kind of thing, read a story, say prayers, listen to a song, and we're in bed. So like that's helped a lot. When I was brainstorming with actually another friend who's a coach, she's in her internship. So I volunteered to be one of her test subjects for her internship, and she's a nurse practitioner and looking to get into what's it called? Like basically like health coaching, but with a nursing background. So, you know, they're a little more knowledgeable on health stuff, obviously. So maybe not a little, probably a lot. So the main goal that I went to her with was trying to sleep more. How do I go to bed earlier? And while I actually did not solve the problem at all when I was working with her, what it set up for me was the ability to practice trying different things and being a lot more okay with the experimentation process. Because as much as I say that, I realize that like when something in you is like a really like ground in struggle, it's not as easy to rewrite. So like I set up all these ideas with her and I was trying things out and I'm like, it was not going well. And it did not come together until I took my neuroplasticity training and applied it to what we had talked about together. It's so funny how your brain needs like time to integrate things together. Like you can learn a lot of stuff, but you need space to like let your brain put it together. My brain finally put it together. And now I am okay with being a person who goes to bed early. this like weird thing about like, I didn't want to go to bed early. Like it sounded like I was wasting the day. Again, going back to that, like, well, you're not good enough because you didn't get enough stuff done. But only old people go to bed. Like I had a really like rigid definition of what sleep could look like in a healthy way. I think it's like one of my favorite things about working with like therapists and coaches. I was like, I really have to take a hard look at what, like the way that I see things. And it, like, I always end up surprising myself, like, ha, didn't think about that. I did. So working with Jennifer really helped me, like, experiment and like, what could it look like for me to do something different with my sleep? And one of the best ways that I can go to bed early is doing the same things I did for my kid. Shocker, it didn't even occur to me at the time, is that I also will get ready for bed before bedtime. I have noticed that one of the struggles I have is that by the time I am tired and want to go to bed, I am also too tired and I don't want to get ready for bed. So I will continue to do whatever thing is not good for me, like stand in the kitchen and scroll Instagram while I eat granola instead of going to get ready for bed. So that transition point is difficult for me. So I move the transition point earlier in the day so that it's in a time where I have more capacity. My medicine is still in effect, and that has made a big difference. On the days where I can, again, you know, if we have something going on in the evening, I can't do that. But like on the days that I can get ready for bed before I get the kids ready for bed, that makes the transition smoother. Now, this sounds kind of crazy. I'm sure there's a mom listening who's like, Patricia, you've lost her ever loving mind to think I can get ready for bed before my kids go to bed. You know what? This might not be a solution for you, but I'm gonna throw it out there anyways and let your brain marinate on it. And you might come up with, like, not necessarily that you have to do what I'm doing, but like, how can you creatively use what you already know and apply it in a way that would make sense for you? So here's what I do. I will get ready for bed either while they're doing their bath time or like while they're having their quiet time between dinner and bedtime. And like when I'm on top of things, my bedtime routine doesn't take me that long. In my head, it's like, oh, it's so long. But really, it's like I put on pajamas, I wash my face, I brush my teeth, I took on my contacts. All in all, we're talking like 5-6 minutes. I can find 5 or 6 minutes to do that because when I do that, I will put them in bed. I come down and do the last couple of like cleanup-y things and make sure like usually my kitchen's already done. My bags are packed, but like just check, make sure we good. Okay, lock the doors, turn on the alarm. And then it's so much easier to just climb right in bed than to have to go do this like big transition. Next tip that's helping me is not having my phone at bedtime. I was running into the issue of I get my kids in bed and then I would sit on my phone in the chair in their room and scroll my phone because they just wanted me to be in the room. But like, I'm not talking to you because you need to go to sleep. And so I would sit there on my phone and scroll. But of course, like, I don't scroll for like 5 minutes. All of a sudden, I'm there for like an hour and a half. And I'm like, this is not working for me. I don't want to be here that long. But again, I'm at that point in the day where transitions are really hard and it's hard for me to get off that chair. It's hard for me to stop scrolling. So now, again, I don't do this every night. I'm going for more often than not, but I try not to take my phone with me to bedtime. This is uncomfortable because then I have to sit in this chair in the dark. Even if it's like 2 minutes, I'm like, this is the longest 2 minutes of my life and I cannot handle it. But what I have learned is, one, I sure as sugar I'm getting out of that chair at 2 minutes because I'm like, and I'm done. Like, I am no longer sitting here. Time to go. So that helps a lot. It has also made me more present at bedtime because I'm not looking at my phone in the boring parts when I'm like, please go potty, please go potty, please go potty. And then like I'm waiting for him to go potty and then I check my phone randomly. It's like, ooh, dopamine machine. So again, it's super awkward feeling because I have to sit in these quiet times with nothing to do. But I have realized that the trade-off of that uncomfortable waiting time is better than sitting there for another 45 minutes scrolling my phone. Okay, another thing that helps me go to bed early is when I got the kids in bed, I come down and cook a couple things, I go right to my room. I do not stop go, do not collect $200, do not sit on the sofa, do not pause in the kitchen for snacks. I'm like notorious with my husband for like standing in the corner of the kitchen and eating snacks and scrolling my phone. I'm like, can't do this anymore. So I do not stop until I get to my bedroom. There's no sitting down and pausing or resting. Because again, not moving then, I got to go right to my bedroom. When I get to my bed, finally, I try to do something quieter, so not my phone, and something that's not a screen. I will tell you that my screen time in general has gone way down in terms of the television and my phone when I go to bed early. Sometimes I'm a little sad about that. Sometimes I am not. But in that time, I try to do something that's not a screen. Or if I do end up like, okay, well, we're going to set up and like if we watch a movie that night, put on my little blue blocker glasses. And sometimes that quiet thing is reading a book. But I have to be careful about the book because if it's one I get really interested in, then I'll stay up reading for a long time. This is one of the things we talked about in the meetup was like, don't want to be up till 2 a.m. reading this book. So I won't choose books that I know I'm going to be super into. But if I am reading a book, I also tell myself that I do not have to finish the chapter before I stop. I cannot help it. I'm like, maybe this is part of my OCD creeping in, but I want to finish the chapter. But the problem is the chapter is always a cliffhanger. And then I want to know what happens at the beginning of this chapter. So my new rule is as soon as I start to feel tired, bookmark in, close the book. I will figure out where I was next time I read the book. It'll be fine. I do not have to end the chapter. Oh, that has been a really hard one. It sounds silly to say that, but like it's been really hard to just stop in the middle of the chapter. But that has helped me actually go to sleep. Another thing that helps me is just having a bed that I love. We have a purple mattress. Highly recommend. I have pillows that I love. I have sheets that I love. I have blankets that I love. Like, I love being in my bed. Morning Patricia does not want to get out of the bed. So I have to make it really awesome so that evening Patricia also wants to get in the bed earlier. Another thing that helps me get into the bed faster is telling my husband to meet me there earlier. I'll make my way there faster and not come up with a bunch of projects quite as often if there's the goal, if you know what I mean. Side note, my husband does not require as much sleep as I do. I don't know if that I totally believe him when he says that, but he definitely sleeps less hours than I do. And I used to wait for him to go to bed, and then I would also go to bed. But like, I cannot function on that little of sleep. So I also had to have a chat with him of like, I cannot stay up with you and watch stuff. Like, if you want to hang out with me, you got to come to the bedroom. You can talk to me there, and then you can go back and watch your show. But like, I cannot stop at the couch and hang out with you for a bit because I'm never getting up. Same thing. I'll be there. He's watching some sports game and I would sit next to him to like, quote, spend that time with him and hang out. And then I would end up like reading on my phone. I'm like, I don't care about this sports game. I don't need to be up on Instagram. Like, just go sleep. So that is another experiment that did not help. Nope, not an option. So I will go to bed before him. And like, I tell him, I'm like, too bad, so sad. I am not staying up with you. You're on your own. Other things I like to do, but I don't always do, is create some like ambiance in going to sleep. I try to play like, it's like cheesy spa music, but it makes me feel tired because it just like there's no words or anything. It's just, you know, like, you know, the babbling brook and the instruments from the other side of the world. And it just calms me down and helps me sleep. My husband hates white noise, so I only can do that when he is also not going to sleep because it drives him bonkers. I also have like lower wattage light bulbs in one of my lamps, so it's like even when I'm moving around the room, it's still like less light. I am not a smells person, but like you can do something like that. Again, like you don't need like a 15-step routine here. It's like what's one thing you could do that would be like more calming to your brain and be like, this is a signal for bedtime. I am also not going to give you a bunch of advice that you already know, like you should go to bed at the same time every day. That's lovely for people with no responsibilities and no mental health issues and no tiny humans. But like, you know, maybe one day I'll figure that out. If I do, I'll make a podcast episode about it. But my episode's not including any of that stuff. All right, so I have gone through all the things I do to actually get in the bed. And if you are somebody who then gets in the bed and then your brain is still moving and you can't fall asleep. I already mentioned the brain dump earlier in the day, not at bedtime. But generally speaking, from what I have very anecdotally asked different people with ADHD, is that usually your brain is just like still on, and that looks different for everybody, but your brain is not in sleep mode. It is not in slow down and shut off mode. It's in go mode still. And this like speedy brain or overwhelm or like whatever's going on also reminds me a lot of feeling anxious. It's that same like going more than I want to in this moment, whether it's like it's going too fast, it's too chaotic, it's too overwhelming, it's too loud. I've noticed a lot of commonalities between when you're trying to go to sleep and can't because your brain's still moving, or you're feeling anxious because your brain is moving more than you want to in the moment. So if that is you, this section is for you. What do we do when our brain is still on and we want it to be off? Number one, we got to disrupt the pattern. We have to teach our brains that this is not the time to think of all the random things and that I should have put on the grocery list and what, you know, that phone call I forgot to make and blah, 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 blah. No brain, this is not the time for that. Here's what we're doing right now. First, we're going to disrupt that pattern. You may have been doing this pattern for years, so it may take us a little bit to rewrite it, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to disrupt it. If you need disrupting ideas, go over to my website and you're going to download this free video I did. It's like 10 ways to calm down when you feel like Medusa Mom is going to show up because you're overwhelmed or frustrated. Like, here's how you can disrupt. Same kind of things you can do to disrupt when your brain is on overdrive for sleep or feeling anxious. Things like bilateral movement, tapping, having a soft gaze and like focusing on the peripheral. There's a whole bunch of ideas in that video. It's patriciasung.com/calm. And it's free. The video is like, oh man, I forget now. I think the video is like 8 minutes long if you leave it on regular speed. Shorter if you speed it up. And I demonstrate the ideas too, so you can see it being done. Okay, then I want you to ask yourself right now. I'm going to ask you to brainstorm. If it helps you to write it down, you can write it down. If you're like, I don't write things down, fine, just think about it in your head. I would like for you to describe for me, what does your brain sound like or feel like? Like, how would you describe all those thoughts that feel like too much? What is going on? How do you describe that? Generally speaking, people will tell me that it's fast in some way. It might be fast in like a lot of things are happening at once. Like you have a lot of thoughts coming. It could be that the thoughts like don't really ever finish and another one starts. It could be just that it's like a high pitch, like you forgot this. Something about it is fast. And when we want to calm down or we want to go to sleep, our goal is going to be to slow it down. I'm going to circle back to that in a second. So right now, either write down or in your head, describe how it feels in that speediness. What are you hearing? What are you seeing? Like, what are you thinking about? Is it complete sentences? Is it phrases? Does it look more like you're watching a movie? Are there sound effects? Do you notice if things are in color or black and white or sepia toned? Are your thoughts clear or are they more fuzzy? Does it feel loud or does it feel soft? Is there some kind of rhythm to it? Like, is it like steady freight train? Is it sporadic? Is it more like staccato? Are there specific feelings you feel? Now, note that you're not going to have all of these things. Some people tend to be more visual. Some people tend to be more auditory. Some people literally just like, I just know things. I don't see them or hear them. So however you would describe those thoughts, when you're trying to slow down, you're trying to go to sleep, trying not to be anxious, what do you notice? What's going on? Okay, now we're going to do the opposite of whatever your brain is currently doing. That would make sense here, okay? So I want you to think about those thoughts. Like imagine you're laying in bed and the thoughts are going. If your thoughts are super fast, slow them down. If you're thinking about, oh man, I really gotta make that dentist appointment. Instead think, oh man, I really need to make a phone call for that dentist appointment. If it's high pitched, say it low pitched. If it's a movie, change it into still photos. Take those thoughts that are happening and one by one, modify those 5 adjectives to be the opposite that would feel more sleep friendly or more calming down friendly. Now, I'm going to guess this is going to feel super weird. You may have never even thought about how your thoughts sound at that moment. You may have never tried to change what's going on in your brain before. But also, it's going to feel really weird that if your thoughts are always going 100 miles an hour, to slow it down and be like, I can't forget to return those library books tomorrow. The goal here is weird. We want to disrupt the pattern that your brain has always done in order to create something different happening so that your brain doesn't just automatically go and do the same thing that it's done every night for the past 6 years or 16 years or 46 years. We're trying to rewrite the way that we do things so that we're letting those neurons in the brain die out, and we want to grow and strengthen the ones that say at bedtime, we think slowly. We have a cool voice like Pete the Cat, and we go real slow so that our brain knows it's time to go to sleep. Now that you have a clear plan to change your thought pattern in, I said 5, you're welcome to do more or less. When you go to sleep the next time after you listen to this, try doing those things while you're laying there. If you're feeling anxious somewhere, try changing the way that your thought pattern goes into something that is calmer, probably slower, more low-key, so that you can start training your brain to think in a different way during those times. Now, this is helpful for you. I'm going to offer up a couple more ideas. Because multiple of you have asked me to do a calming audio, and I did not feel qualified for that job. Lo and behold, I just learned how to do this in my certification class on neuroplasticity. I have put together a private podcast for calming audios for sleep and anxiety, specifically for ADHD, because I absolutely love these at night when I can't fall asleep. But I'll be honest, the more that I practice them, the easier it is to fall asleep because my brain now knows, oh, this is what we do when it's time to go to sleep. Now, if you are in successful mama meetups, do not buy this because it will be in your membership. You're going to get an email invite. If you don't already have it, it will be there shortly. And if you'd like this private podcast, you can join Successful Mama Meetups by next Wednesday, which is our next group discussion day. So not only will you have a fabulous discussion with other moms who get you, you also have a private podcast of calming audio for sleep and anxiety. Because I just like throwing fun little bonuses in. Because my membership mamas are my people. Oh, and good news. Successful Mama Meetups now has a second meeting time. So it's in the evening for me, which means it's the afternoon for Hawaii. And it goes all the way through. If you're on the other side of the world from me in Asia and Australia, that will be Thursday morning for you. There's another time for you to come and join us. So now we have two meetings on Wednesdays, one in the afternoon for me and one in the evening for me. So head over to the website, check the time zones and see what that time is for you. To join us, you go to patriciasung.com/meetup and there you'll find the link. Now, if you're like, hey, Patricia, I can't do the membership for whatever reason, you can also buy the audio. It's going to be $9, nothing crazy. And you can grab it at patriciasung.com/slowdown, all one word. So if you want to join Successful Mama Meetups, patriciasung.com/meetup, you'll be there for the discussion for April, which our theme is emotional regulation. And if you just want the calming audios on a private podcast, you go to patriciasung.com/slowdown, all one word. And then remember to go grab the free video of ways to disrupt the pattern when you're on the struggle bus. That's patriciasung.com/calm. All right, I have armed you with many a tool on how to slow down and go to sleep. You've also got the private podcast, which is called Slow Down, Be Present, because I want you to have as many tools as possible to make your life a little bit easier. Okie doke, successful mama. Sweet dreams, and I'll talk to you soon. For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.